Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, March the 10th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are on page 23, the chapter There Is a Solution, fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page. The tragic truth is that if the man through one paragraph ending every case long before it is suspected. That's on the top of page 24. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathy P., the 12 Traditions, Susan G. The readers of the text are Ann S.C.H., Dana P., and Chanel T. Share ID for Monday, March 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,269. That's 23269. And for Tuesday, March 10th, this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,273. That's 23273. Newcomer greeter is Larry G. And the announcements person is Robin P. If you are a newcomer, please stay on after the meeting has ended and we will get your name and where you're calling from. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Mo. Kathy P. from Oregon, grateful to be of service. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Kathy P., and she is from Oregon. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me give some service, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Susan G., and she is from Tennessee. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. On page 23, there is a solution, the fourth paragraph, way down at the bottom of the page. It begins with, the tragic truth is that if the man, and it ends on the top of page 25, every case long before it is suspected. And I will now ask Ann, S-C-H, to read that paragraph and comment for us. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ann. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater living in British Columbia, Canada. This morning's reading. The tragic truth is that if the man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. He has lost control. At a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is absolutely no avail. This tragic situation has already arrived in practically every long case long before it is suspected. So this is the tragic paragraph in the Big Book, in that the word tragic is mentioned twice. First sentence, the tragic truth, and then the tragic in the last sentence, the tragic situation. So for me as a compulsive overeater, this is a warning. You know, in the Big Book, I've heard people speak about this on meetings, and I tell this to my sponsees, that there are instructions in the Big Book. There's warnings in the Big Book. There's promises in the Big Book. It's got it all. And so any paragraph that has a repetition of the word, any word, more than once, that is like a spotlight that the writer is putting on this particular paragraph. And for me, as a compulsive overeater, I'm going back in my mind and I'm thinking about the 15-year lapse where it was a tragedy. I was in my 50s and I was dealing with postmenopausal issues, and I put on well over 120 pounds since lost. But the tragedy is that in that time, over that 15-year period, I knew the program. I had gone back into the food and I'd been acting out. And the tragedy is that there was that all that time. And then also too, that 25 years later, I'm dealing with the consequences physically. And that's a tragedy for me because life didn't have to be this way. I don't believe it's what my higher power, the God that my most high God, wanted for me in my life. And that was a tragedy. I chose it. And the tragedy for the people around me, because that's what the word, the tragic truth, refers to in the first sentence, refers back to our loved ones, the people that were in my life that saw what I was doing, like witnessing, like I'm thinking of the people at work now, how they would witness me go from an ideal body weight, how they watch me go from an ideal body weight to wearing a size 28. And the impact that would have had on other people. So there's the tragedy that what I did to myself and what I did to other people. And so there's a warning here. And so thank you for listening. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Anne SCH, for getting us started. Great share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we're on page 23 of There Is a Solution, the fourth paragraph down. The tragic truth is that if the man, through one paragraph ending every case long before it is suspected. So let me grab my pen. Who would like to share?
Hello, I'm Barbara W.
Barbara W., got you, Barbara.
Julie W.C.
Okay, I heard, was it Julie P.?
Yes, Julie P., thank you.
Got you, Julie. Who was after Julie?
Michelle
Barbara
W.C.
A, California.
Okay, yeah, I got you, Michelle. I heard that. And thank there was you. Somebody after Michelle.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A. Who else?
Liz D.
Liz D.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. We'll stop there. That's a good lineup. Thank you. So Barbara W., Julie P., Michelle W. C., Barbara A., Liz D., and Bruce E. So everyone except Barbara W., please mute your phone. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I'm happy to be back, everybody. Happy to hear everybody. I was out because I was very sick. December and January, it was terrible. But I'm thanking my higher power, God, that I'm well now and I'm able to talk. I just couldn't do anything really, but I'm back. I just wanted to say I didn't gain any weight. That's the thing about it. I lost weight. That's not fun to be sick to lose weight. Because you have a condition and you lose weight, you don't hardly eat. But we have our own illnesses. But I just wanted to share on that paragraph talking about tragedy. I had a tragedy way back years ago before I came in this program. I had a tragedy in 99 and it was my losing my husband, you know, and losing my son. So losing part of the family is like a loss. But I didn't realize that I had a tragedy in my own life. My tragedy was I was glutting food and eating all kind of things that I shouldn't have been eating and I didn't even know that I would get sick from this stuff. But now that I'm older and you have to deal with what you did, it's really a blessing to be in this program because it's a gift from God for me and others too to get better. And it does work by eating good, healthy food, by eating good and by working the steps and by knowing the things about myself and my life. I still make mistakes and stumble because I'm not perfect. But I have the thing that I do is I apologize. If I do things to someone wrong, I make a mistake, I'm not perfect, I do apologize. But if they don't like it, they get upset, they throw it in my face, they say things to me that I wouldn't expect, you know what? It's okay. Because I've learned, even from going to Al-Anon, that we have to accept the things that we can't change. Because I can't change other people, but I can change Barbara. I can work on my life every day. I can improve every day. And I can be grateful to receive God's gifts. He gifts us when we do the right thing. Yes, he does. We get wonderful gifts from God. He sends them down upon us. Our eating is getting better, all of us. And we're trying to get healthy. And I'm so happy that I'm able to do that at this point now. And I'm going to let somebody else share. And I just want to say thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Barbara W. from New Jersey. And so glad you're better again. You're well. Up next is Julie P., followed by Michelle W.C. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you and everybody for your service this morning. My name is Julie P. I am definitely a food addict from the state of Minnesota. Blessed to be wintering in southern Texas right now. This paragraph has really touched my heart. And how do I identify? He passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop eating is of absolutely no avail. Now, my denial spent more than 50 years telling me that I didn't have a food problem. I did not realize all the different ways that I was trying to solve the food problem. Without this book, I also got to a point as my disease has progressed. I didn't care if I stopped eating. You know, where it says the most powerful desire to stop eating, basically. I had that for a while, and then my disease told me that just doesn't even matter anymore. Why stop? Once I start, I can't stop. So why fight it? And I am so grateful that today I know there is a solution. I know it's not me, and I have to be very, very careful and on the lookout so this does not happen, because I know my disease is getting so much stronger and it is out to strangle me. And once I start, there is absolutely no desire to stop, to just keep rolling right along as the chow hound chows down the food. So I am grateful for this paragraph today and for all of you for saving my life. Blessings in your day. Thanks, and I pass.
And thank you very much. That's Julie P., and she is from Minnesota. Up next is Michelle W.C., followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning. It's Michelle W.C. in California. And thank you all for your service. And I'm just glad that we're here in this chapter, There Is a Solution. And it brings me such hope that, you know, myself, who has worked the steps, been in OA for over a year, worked the steps a few times, and really had a great level of recovery. And then my life got a little bit busy, and then programs stopped being front and center, and then life got hard. And I turned back to my old best friend, food, for a little bit of comfort, having an extra bite, or maybe having a sauce that might have had a sweetener in it. I don't exactly know where my first slip started, but something happened, and I lost my abstinence, and how painful that has been for me, and more so losing the food neutrality, and just right now how I've been white knuckling it, not being able to be with my family as they're eating foods that I, that are not on my food plan. As I've been fantasizing about other foods, it's just I really am aware of how cunning and baffling this disease is, and just coming to another level of surrender and acceptance that I have this disease and that I'm just not like normal eaters, and I cannot eat like others, and it's not worth my energy to fantasize about it. And I also, didn't realize that, now that I've had a little bit of time to look back on things, that I've had some issues come up that I've done 10 steps on. But I really feel that I've got some like deep underlying anger and resentment that I need, need to work the steps again, need to do a fourth step inventory and possibly get some outside help with a therapist on a few of these things that I am. But I'm glad that I read this paragraph and I'm on this meeting today sharing, and that, you know, while I heard the word tragic multiple times and I was like, oh, I'm living in a tragedy right now, but I'm not. I know there's a solution. I have definitely been on that pink cloud not too long ago about, you know, living an abstinent, disciplined life and just getting back to it and knowing that there is a solution here in OA. And I wanted to thank you all for being part of my God Squad and being a part of my morning today. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Michelle W.C. from California. Next is Barbara A., followed by Liz D. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service today. I was listening to this being read earlier, and I substituted the word this tragic situation for this tragic solution. It made me think about how I had lost control, and I had put myself into a tragic solution of just, there was, like people had said, there was no desire to stop overeating. I didn't have the ability. That state where the most powerful desire to stop eating, drinking, is of absolutely no avail. Been there. And I guess I reflected that that was my tragic situation, my tragic solution, and that I did reach that tragic situation. The only way I relieved myself from that tragic situation was to, and I know we hear it all the time, was to fall down on my knees and say, God help me. I don't know what to do. I've lost control. I have no desire to stop overeating. And the only way that desire came back was to just ask for help at the most basic level when I couldn't do anything else except fall on my knees and say, please help me. And with that came the, you know, intuition, get back to your meetings, call people, work the program. Only coming to that point that tragic situation where I was just at the, people talk about bottom, but just not knowing what to do. My methods never worked. That was my tragic situation. My method never worked. What I did not work. And I kept thinking it would. Yeah. So grateful for this meeting, for a place to come and read this book and get the interpretation from people who have work the steps, work the program, are living day to day free from their food obsession. So grateful. Thank you. Thank you for your service, Mo. Thank you all for being here and having this meeting available. And I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Barbara A. from California. Up next is Liz D., followed by Bruce E. And after Bruce, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. I'm Liz D., compulsive eater, and thank you so much for your service and for everyone's shares. I really needed this today. I'm working on my step 4 inventory, and I have a whole lot of fears, and among my fears is that my happy day won't arrive. And I'm grateful because the way my sponsor has me working step 4, I am filling out a column about what I'm going to do or what I could do with my fears to alleviate them. And part of that process is to keep coming to meetings and to speak up. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share and to be here and to hear everyone else talk through this. And to hear that there is a solution. So I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much. That's Liz D., and I believe you're from Maryland because we talked earlier. Up next is Bruce E., Florida. Good morning,
Hi.
Bruce.
Hey, good morning, Mo. And this is Bruce E. I'm a recovering food addict in Southwest Florida. And I'm a little ways from the road here. I hope that's not an interruption here. Well, the tragic truth here that they're talking about at the beginning of this paragraph is that I'll get back the willpower to be able to overcome this sickness. But, you know, willpower doesn't work for me for a disease. I got a disease. It's called compulsive overeating. And I do that because I'm an addict. I'm a food addict, you know, so that's why it is. So the tragic truth is that I'm not going to be able to assert the willpower to overcome this thing because there's not enough willpower there to do it. If I'm a real alcoholic or a real food addict, and I think I'm of the real food addict type. I've proved that to myself time after time. Day after day, the happy day may never arrive. He has lost control. Well, that's why we have a first step. I'm powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable. If I could manage my life, I'd have control. And for years, I tried to control it. I really tried. I tried as hard as anybody, but I couldn't control it because my life was unmanageable, and I didn't know it. So I had to get in here and look at this first step where it says, my life is unmanageable. And so every morning I'm trying to remember to just say, God, I can't manage my, after I say I'm powerless over food, I just say, God, I can't manage my life. I ask you to manage it for me and restore me to sanity and to give you my will in my life. That's what I'm trying to do every morning. Three steps real quick. He passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop eating is absolutely of no avail. I've been there on that one. And as soon as I eat the alcoholic foods, alcoholic behaviors, I go right into that state where I just can't stop. Now, then they mention tragedy again. So it's mentioned, like I heard earlier, it's mentioned twice in here. This tragic situation has already arrived in practically everyone, every case before it's suspected. It arrived with me years before I suspected it, and I needed to come into this program and hear other people talk. And then I thought, yeah, I suspect that I am a food addict. Yeah. So I'm going to be abstinent today. Glad to be on this line. Appreciate everybody on here. Very, very grateful for this book and everybody in this fellowship. And I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Bruce E. from Florida. Let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 23 of There Is a Solution, the fourth paragraph. The tragic truth is that if the man, through one paragraph ending every case long before it is suspected, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to... Charles H.
Nancy L.
Lori T.
Nancy, what was your last initials? L? Charles H. Nancy L. Who was that after Nancy?
Lori T. from California.
Okay, I think I heard a Ted in there. Was there a Ted?
Yes, Ted from New Jersey. Thank you.
Ted G. And then the next?
Lori T.
Lori
T. For, like,
yes. Gotcha, Lori.
Perfect.
Lori T.
California. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Charles H., Nancy L., Ted G., and Lori T. Okay. No one else wants to share. I will start. Everyone
here?
Except somebody M.
Jaina.
Yeah, I remember. Okay. Okay, Jenny, we'll stop
P.
there. Okay, Jenny P., I'll take it. We'll see if we can get to you, Jenny. All right.
Thank you.
Everyone mute except Charles. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Mo. I'm going to hit it and quit it because I like to hear people. The tragic truth
is that the disease is progressive. It gets worse. But the great promise is that it gets better as it gets worse. What am I trying to say? When I embrace my shadows and realize that no matter how much weight I lost, no matter how much things I've gone through in my life, that next bite of crackling. And that's why the recovered people do the things they do. A normal person would be like, man, it don't take all of that. Why are you on this damn meeting every morning? Why are you writing on, why are you buying all these notepads and calling people with the things that you write on your notepads? Because of the tragic truth. That's why. The tragic truth is that this disease is punning, baffling, and insidious. But also, recovery is amazing. There's a woman on this line from Colorado. I'm not going to break her anonymity. I owe her an amends. I'd love to do it in front of you guys. Because the things of my heart, you know, my higher power gives me the desires of my heart when I put him first. And I always reference to page 55, deep down inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. Obviously, we're not on that page. Right? We're talking about the tragic truth. But when I put things first, I put my addiction first, God gives me the desire of my heart. And so I'm in the middle of a project. The project is almost complete. I had a nervous breakdown because I had the great reality on my mind, fear. Oh, this thing ain't going to work out. And I got the clarity to be like, wow, you know what? There's two questions that's not in the, well, one of them may be in a big book, but how important is this? And what is this trying to teach me? It's trying to teach me I need more love, patience. I need a lighter heart. This is good. And this is the tragic truth that I need to keep doing this every single day. And with that, I will pass. Thank you very much, Mo. Good to be on the 10 a.m.
Yeah, thank you, Charles. Glad to have you on our 10 a.m. meeting. That's Charles H., and he is from New York. Up next is Nancy L., followed by Ted G. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mo. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. Welcome, newcomers. 100-pounder, grateful to be abstinent today. Excuse me, my throat's acting up on me. By the time I was in second grade, the clothes in the regular stores did not fit me. So my mom had to buy me special clothes that would fit. And so she just took care of it. You know, if there was problems, here, let me fix the problem. So I had clothes to wear, but I just kept getting bigger and bigger. And from 5 years old to 55, I continued to gain weight and gain weight and gain weight. And I always had something to fix it, like my mom would fix it. I went to this diet and that diet. And long story short, what I found was that I was a real indeed compulsive overeater, and I needed to get the help, not from outside, but from inside. And that's where I found it when I came into the rooms of OA. I found I needed spiritual help. I needed a sponsor. I needed the steps. And finally, I was able to say, okay, I'm waving that white flag, and thank you, God. I have been in a normal size for many, many years, and thank you, God, that he finally took away the fear, and I'm sponsoring now, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Nancy L. from Arizona. Up next is Ted G., followed by Lori T. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Ted. I'm a compulsive eater, binger from New Jersey. I'm definitely powerless over this disease. I've come a long way. Like, I've been sober over a little bit over a year and away from alcoholic foods, which is great. However, the past 3 days, it's been like, you know, I'm making like two meetings away here. Just basically, I started to get a little complacent and had a little bit bad attitude at my meetings. And So basically, I kind of like get the case of the F blank. I'm sorry to say that. That's my how my history's been. You know, I just want to forget everything and just. You know, I accept that I'm polished over food and I need to be here. I'm not a normal eater. I know that. I've lost, you know, over 100 pounds this year. I'm doing really good things, but I know that deep in my heart that this thing is not easy for me. And I need God to help me stay sober. Every time I get to the meals, you know, before the kitchen, I pray a lot before I step in the kitchen. And God helps me, but I really need to improve on, I have alcoholic foods, yes, but sometimes there's new alcoholic foods that are coming in my life, which weren't before, and I have to get rid of them as well, because I can't just take one bite. I gotta take the whole container. That's my disease. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for listening, and peace to everybody.
Thank you. That's Ted G., and he is from New Jersey. The next is Lori T., followed by Jaina M. Good morning, Lori.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Nice to be on this meeting. And I was thinking about this word tragedy and the way they used it in the book. And first, I just want to say this is my fourth day of being abstinent. And I do want to say to those that struggle getting abstinent, like I have struggled, sometimes it has come real easy, and other times, like this last time, wasn't easy at all. And I don't care, you know, people will say, oh, if you just lean on God, if you develop a relationship with God, if you work the steps, you know, if you do these specific things, it will happen. Well, no, it's not true. It does not happen for everyone. It doesn't happen. And I don't have, it's a mystery as to when God decides to remove the tragedy of my situation. I mean, I felt suicidal 5 days ago. I was doing things I did not want to do. I did not want to binge and purge. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die. I am going to die. And this is not a life worth living. If I have to live like this, I don't want to live. And for the last 4 days, I have no idea if it was that tragic plea I had towards God. But that now I feel like I can go on. I feel like I can live this life without the food. But it's that sugar that is so freaking addicting. I looked up synonyms for tragedy, and here's some that I thought really stood out. A disastrous, a catastrophic outcome, which for me would be death, and a lot of us, I'm sure. Dreadful, a sense of fear or horror. And then it's used in literature as like it deals with serious themes and events that leads to disastrous or sorrowful conclusions. It can be described as a real life event or situation that causes significant suffering, loss, or misfortune. It's dramatic, it's emotional, it's significant loss. And all of those things are true with this way of life. If I am not abstinent and I am not sober, and by the grace of God go I today. I, you know, I remember once complaining I couldn't play tennis in a tennis tournament years ago. And a lady sat down next to me that didn't have a leg. And I thought, by the grace of God go I. And that's how I feel today. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much. That is Lori T., and she's from California. Up next is Jaina M., followed by Jenny T. Good morning, Jaina.
Good morning, Mo. Jaina M. in Arizona. Great shares today. I have recently recovered from a 3-year relapse. That really started with me decentering the program. Letting, you know, the calls and the meetings and the sponsor work become negotiable. And I did that for a while before the food started becoming negotiable. And then before I knew it, I was face down in the cake again. And when I went there, the tragic situation is that I just didn't want to stop. I was just did not want to stop. But I wanted to want to stop. And that became my prayer, you know, to my higher power. Please make me want to want this recovery. And then I was given the willingness to get back on the meeting. You know, in the disease, I just want to die. And I have to go through in my head all the reasons why I can't die. You have to go to like, oh, my mom needs me, my dogs, my husband. I have to clean out the house. And then I have to figure out how I'm going to make sure that there's not a big mess whenever the people who come to collect my body, you know, I don't want them to have to deal with a big mess. And I'm going through all this stuff in my head. And it's all the reasons that I can't die are all the things that I have to live for, actually. But I can't enjoy those things in the disease, and it just makes me hate myself. But the 12 steps, you know, and this fellowship, this is the solution. There is a solution, and it's this. You know, the food plan helps me, you know, lose that weight. But it's really the program that makes me lose that hate that I have for myself. I have found that my disease will use the smallest crack in my recovery to get me back. But I've also found that my higher power will use the smallest crack in my disease to pull me back into recovery. And that's what I'm really grateful for today. So, you know, if you're a newcomer or, you know, you're trying to come back from a relapse and you don't want to stop, maybe just pray for that desire, that want to want it, that willingness to be willing. That was everything for me, and I'm so grateful to be here and to be back. Thanks for letting me share. With that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Jana M. from Arizona, and welcome back. And up next is Ginny P., and after Ginny, I may be able to take one or two more. Good morning, Ginny.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Ginny P. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered but not cured. Well, out of the tragic truth for me, I was thinking about this, came the gift of desperation. I came in long, long time ago as I was like a pudgy teenager. And in a very short period of time, I became a full-blown food addict, where I had to drop out of school. I was sitting alone in my room or on a couch eating all day, getting sick, and literally feeling like I wanted to die. And it took, unfortunately, some time for me to really hit my bottom and get that gift of desperation. But, you know, when I did, like it's going to say on the next page, there is a solution. And, so again, out of the tragic truth can come the gift of desperation. And if you're new or struggling, you know, it is possible to have freedom from food and have a different life. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Ginny P. She's from California. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Dana P.
Dana P. Anyone else? All right, Dana, you've got the floor.
Hey, thanks, Mo. This is Dana P., California. Really grateful to be here, and I love the perspective that was shared previously about, you know, everything I have to live for. This page, actually, page 23, and I don't know, you know, the pages before, it's really all these horrible, terrible, actually, that word is in there, these words that, you know, terrible and fallacious, you know, that's a lie, and havoc. These words that are so, you know, awful, baffled, you know, it's just really hit me hard. And the strange truth, the word tragic is the one, you know, somebody's already shared about that, comes twice in this paragraph. And so I looked it up.
this tragic truth that if a man is a real alcoholic, the happy day will not arrive. You know, what happy day? All the things I have to live for. You know, I'll be down in a hellhole somewhere, which I have been, under the bridge with the troll. You know, that's what the disease does to me. And it's not always about food, but it's about, you know, that the horrible things that I do to myself. And it becomes this trauma. And so I looked up the word tragic. I was sort of curious about that. I love looking up the words, and Bill is quite the wordsmith. And it talks here, it says, tragic stories involve profound sadness, destruction, or death, often stemming from a flaw in a noble protagonist that leads to their inevitable downfall. Originating from the Greek tragikos, or goat song, these narratives explore themes of fate, pride, and morality, typically ending in catastrophe, loss, or deep catharsis. And that last part, you know, the goat song, that's that, that my most feared fairy tale was the one about the goats, Billy Goats Gruff going over the bridge, you know. But the last part of that, deep catharsis is a change, an expelling of the negativity, if you will. And that's what this program has done. I went from someone dancing with a troll under the bridge in fear of the goats traveling across the bridge to standing in the sunlight of the spirit on top of the bridge and seeing this beautiful life that was ahead of me and is a part of me that I just didn't see before. You know, that lie, that fallacious lie that my life wasn't beautiful. So I'm just super grateful that we're moving through all of this tragedy and trauma and awfulness into our paragraph, I mean, our chapter. There is a solution. And what is that solution? It is a 12-step process that leads me to connection, to a connection with my higher power, to that spiritual awakening, that spiritual experience that Bill talks about. And I came from a dark place, so I'm really grateful again here, and I'm going to pass. Hopefully there's someone else that's wanting to share.
Thank you very much. That's Dana P. from California, and we have about 1 minute if someone would like to take that time. If not, I think we'll close our meeting. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your shares this morning. I learned a lot myself. All right. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Dana P. again to read Our Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning. Here I am again. Thank you so much, Mo, for your service. It's a pleasure to be here this month in March, my belly button birthday month. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.